Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We live in a really depressing world, don't we? As it was mentioned earlier, you go out and there's no matter which way you look, whether it's sin, whether it's fear, whether it's just the lost sense of hope with people, or whether it's just the desire that everybody has on the here and now, on having fun, or whatever the case may be. We live in a depressing world. We live in a grumpy world. I remember the first time, it's been over a decade ago, going to New York City, and you'd just say hi to people on the street, and you wouldn't even get a look. And at that point, it was kind of something kind of natural to certain areas of the country, but that's really the way of life nowadays, no matter where you go, just that kind of gruff, hard, grumpy world that we live in. And you know, it's really the human tendency to let our human emotions follow what's around us or follow what we are experiencing. And I believe, and I can tell this is more and more true every year, it seems, it can get to the point where Christians can be a very depressing folk. We can be very grumpy. We can be very solemn. And we can almost get to the idea that you know, we're in church, we should be very solemn people. And yeah, we need to be serious about God, but where is our joy? Where is our joy? J.R. Miller said, "It is supposed by some that religion makes people solemn, takes the sunshine out of their life, the joy out of their heart, the song out of their mouth. But the reverse of this is the truth. No other one in the world has such secrets of joy as has the Christian." So tonight I want to look at the idea of joy, but more particularly about this command here in Philippians 4 to rejoice. To rejoice. It's a simple verse, a well-known verse, Philippians 4:4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." So we know what's being said here is important. He not only says it, but he says it again. Kind of gives it that impact. You know, I sometimes when we're preaching, we'll read a quote, we'll read a verse, and we get to our main part of the verse that we really want to point out, and we'll emphasize that just to make sure that it gets the point across. And that's what's being done here. He's saying it's very important that we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? It means it says to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult. Really, it's saying to be happy, to be glad, to experience joy, to experience gladness. It's a verb, it's an action. It's a choice that we make. What is it saying here? What can we learn about rejoicing? Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be skipping around quite a bit tonight. You can follow me if you'd like. But I promise I am reading from a King James Version. And I'll make sure to read each and every word. But turn, if you would, but we may go fast at times. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Exceeding glad. Let's look a little bit more at this. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. We see that word exceeding, now exceedingly, here in Psalm 68, verse 3. Psalm 68:3, it says, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." Exceedingly. So what degree should we rejoice? What degree should we experience joy and gladness, which is already, the very word means in a high degree, but to an exceedingly point? That word exceedingly means to a very great degree, in a degree beyond what is usual. We should be abnormally glad people. Yet, so often, we don't look at any happier, any more glad, any more joyful than the person next to us at the gas station. And maybe we're quick to talk about the bad things of our day. Oh, how's your day? Oh, it's been a hard day. It's been a rough day. It's been a long day. I'm so tired. This happened. And that's the things that we're quick to talk about too often. When the Bible says here, we're supposed to be a people that rejoice. That not only rejoice, but rejoice exceedingly. We should be an unusually glad people. And like I said, it's a verb. It's an action. Therefore, it's up to us to choose to do it. It's not going to come naturally. It's not something we would naturally choose. I think of Job and what he went through. And could I rejoice in those kind of situations? I should. I should rejoice in my situations, and I don't enough. But no matter what's going on around us, I'm supposed to rejoice. I think of Psalm 42, verse 5, where David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." You know, it's going to be a hard thing to do because it goes against our natural state, but it's a choice that we are supposed to make. So how can we make that? Well, go back to our Philippians 4 passage. Probably don't even need to turn there to see where this is going, but it says there, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. We're not happy because of who we are. We're not happy or glad because of what we are going through. We're not ready to rejoice and exalt the Lord because of what we're going through and what we see or what is good about us, but because of the Lord. Because of who he is. Rejoice in the Lord. Turn over a little bit to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. What has the Lord done in our life? Everything. He's saved us. We're going to go through a quick list of things, but do you ever just think about what the Lord has saved you from? When you look out, when we see everything that's going on around us and say, but for the grace of God, that's me. That should cause us to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. But that's not what I'm going through because of you and what you've done in my life. You know, I was thinking about the idea of depression is so prevalent everywhere. You hear these suicides, and it's so grievous. You know, I heard of a 12-year-old boy just the other day committing suicide, and you just grieve. And the depression can affect anybody. But the answer is right here. In God's word, rejoice. Obviously, you have to be a saved person to really rejoice in what God has done, because it starts at salvation with what he's done in our life. And reading here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Why can we be glad in the Lord? Why can we rejoice in the Lord? Because he saved us and gave us a hope that we can look to. Yeah, there's going to be tribulations, but those tribulations we can glory in, knowing that they're going to, just the Lord teaching me something. Maybe he wants to teach me patience, experience, hope. It's just something for me to get through and trust him and look to him and make sure that I can keep my eyes on him. I think of the idea of Psalm 37 when it's talking about those different degrees of trust there. He says in verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Get our delight from him. Get our joy, our gladness from him. Psalm 5, in verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Rejoice. See, you see, rejoicing, if we're going to truly rejoice, we have to trust this Lord that we can get this joy from. We have to trust that if I turn to him and look to him, it's just going to cause rejoicing. Because it's not any longer about me and about what I can do or what I see around me, but he's going to take care of it. He goes on in verse 11 there, "Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." We can know that he's going to be our defender. He's going to be our defense. We can shout for joy. We can rejoice in him because of that. He's going to be our salvation. Psalm, we're going to go through Psalm, so if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll kind of page through there. Psalm 13. Just looking at different ways, obviously we could never go through them all and look at why we can rejoice in the Lord. The possibilities, I believe, are endless, but let's look at a few. So we saw that he's our defense. Psalm 13 and verse 5, it says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." He protects us. He takes care of us. He is our salvation. As we already talked about, literally, he saved us, not just in the trials like David perhaps was going through, but he saved our very soul. How could we not rejoice? In his mercy, Psalm 31, verse 7. Psalm 31, verse 7 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." Rejoicing in his mercy. Do we think much about that? We think often about his grace and all the things that he bestows on us. But what about all the things that we don't get that we deserve? Not just hell. But I've been thinking recently about how merciful our God is, that when I fail, he doesn't just wipe me out. I should know better. Raised in church, saved, studied the word, and yet I fail. Why should the Lord give me another chance? Why doesn't he just take me out? Because I have a merciful God. And I should rejoice in that. I think of Psalm 63. Let's turn over there in verse 7. "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." He helps us. Have you ever been going through something in the day? Maybe you're looking for something. It's the little things. And you start to struggle. We get frantic. You ever just turn to the Lord and say, "You're going to take care of this. I can rejoice in this." And then he does. Maybe he doesn't. But what did he maybe protect you from? But I just think of this often, about how he is my help. I can rejoice in that. And I love the little reminder there about being in the shadow of thy wings. That protection, yet again, of who he is for us. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. If all else fails, just praise him because it's right. Psalm 33, 1. "Rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the righteous." It's comely. It's suitable or beautiful. He gets glory from it. Psalm 40, verse 16. Would you say that you are a person that would be known for just being a glad person in the Lord? Someone who, when they talk about what's going on in your life, you're always pointing out what the Lord has done, and there's a smile on your face, thinking about who He is and what He's done for you. When you're singing songs, are you thinking about, wow, this is my God that I'm singing about? Not only singing about, but singing to. Rejoicing. Why should we do this? Well, Psalm 40, verse 16 says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." The Lord be magnified. You see, that's the whole point. Not just so that the Lord is magnified for me, because as you rejoice in the Lord, you know what happens? My thoughts towards about God and towards God grow. He is magnified in my life. He is magnified in my soul, in my mind, in my heart. My love for Him grows. His greatness, His power grows. But not only that, those around us can see the Lord magnified in our life. Because we're pointing things out that the Lord did this. My day is, yeah, it looks like really bad, but it's actually good because I have the Lord. And they can see that. And the world around us, especially the lost, because if we are being an unusually happy people, an unusually glad people, rejoicing in the Lord when everything looks bad, people are going to notice that and they're going to wonder, what is that like? What do they have that I don't have? Maybe I should learn more about this God that they talk about. The Lord be magnified. As Ethan mentioned earlier about if you are truly saved, that's what this verse is saying. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I want to speak about this Lord that saved me. It's not just about me being happy or glad or joyful, but about the Lord being magnified. Let's show the joy and peace that the Lord brings to our life, to the people around us. And be a people that rejoice in the Lord. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That blessed here, it's praiseworthy, worthy of commendation. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Remembering what He has done for a saved person. "Who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." He's saying there's going to be times of heaviness. There's going to be trials. But you notice there, it's for a season. And no matter what trial we're going through, we know that there's something better on the other side. Whether it's just the Lord taking care of that issue or whether it's heaven, we have a lively hope. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. An unspeakable joy. It should be a joy that's so great that we can hardly contain it. That's why we keep on speaking out about it because it's just so amazing what the Lord has done for me. But our eyes have to be on that and what the Lord has done and not on what we see as far as what's so bad right now. Having faith that the Lord will take care of it. Having faith that I know my God, that He will care for me. And He told me to rejoice right now. We know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes from us choosing to rejoice in the Lord. It comes from us walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, to look to God instead of self. And that joy is a state. It's a place that we get to, but it comes from rejoicing in what we can't see, the Lord. Versus just the action of choosing to rejoice. John, 1 John 1, verse 4, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What things was he talking about there? He says that our fellowship is with the Father, that we can walk in the light as he is in the light. John 15:11 talks about the same thing, that "these things have I written unto you, spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." What things? That you abide in his love, that you keep his commandments. Do you want to be a joyful people? Well, choose to do what he says. Keep his commandments. One of those commandments is to rejoice. Walk with him, abide in his love, keep his commandments. But this means something, that if we aren't full of joy, that we aren't walking with the Spirit, or we're not abiding in God's love, or we're not keeping his commandments. Billy Sunday said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. It's true. As I was reading, especially John 15:11, the Lord really hit me with that. If I'm not joyful, if I'm not praising God, if I'm not rejoicing in the Lord, there's something wrong. I'm failing somewhere. My eyes are in the wrong place. I'm in sin. I'm just not walking how the Lord wants me to walk. I'm not looking to Him in all that I do. If I'm not a joyful person, if I'm not rejoicing, no matter what's going on, there's something wrong. And I can know that because the rest of Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." There's not a time that I'm not supposed to be rejoicing. There's not a time when I shouldn't be looking to the Lord and saying, "I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I can't wait to see what you're going to do if I'm in trouble, or if I look what you just did," and giving him the glory for it. If I'm not doing that, there's my eyes or something is in the wrong place. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore." I looked it up. There's not a place where it gives a time that you're not supposed to rejoice. Evermore means forever, evermore. There's not little pauses in that. We're supposed to rejoice. If that's not clear enough, Psalm 34, 1 through 2 says of David, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." At all times. No pauses. No matter what we're going through, no matter what trials we have, if we're going through one, it's but for a season. And the Lord has a plan for us. And we can look towards our hope, Jesus Christ, and know that he's going to take care of it, or he's going to call me home and I'll be with him, where I can praise him forever and ever. Are you discouraged today? Rejoice. Are you depressed? Rejoice. Are you in the midst of a trial? Rejoice. Are you flourishing in your Christian life? Rejoice. Because God's the one that allows you to do that. God's the one who's going to take you through that trial. A.B. Simpson said, "Begin to rejoice in the Lord, and your bones will flourish like an herb, and your cheeks will glow with the bloom of health and freshness. Worry, fear, distrust, care, all are poisonous. Joy is balm and healing, and if you will but rejoice, God will give power. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. We've been talking with Brother Burns on Sundays about the healing and health of humility. But giving praise and rejoicing is healing as well, because that goes down to humility. It's not me, not what I see, but my eyes on God. Not trusting in myself, not thinking of myself more highly. It's healing. Have you ever been around a joyful person and you can't help but just feel better? It's true. And if we're that person, looking to the Lord for that gladness, that rejoicing, that joy, we're gonna be a much healthier, happier person. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Let's not allow the things around us, the things that we see, the world around us, the trials we're going through, affect whether or not we are rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Why? So that he can be glorified in all that we do. We say that in all that we say and do. But do we mean that? Do we really desire for the Lord to be magnified in my life? That should be our desire. That should be our goal. We should want the Lord to be glorified in all that we do. We were created by him. What's the rest of that verse say? For him. We're a creation of him, and we're to live for him. Why shouldn't all of our gladness and joy in life come from him? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful.